Our text this morning again, 2 Timothy chapter 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, according to the promise of life in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my beloved son. Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve with a clear conscience, the way my forefathers did, as I constantly remember you in my prayers night and day, longing to see you, even as I recall your tears, so that I may be filled with joy. For I am mindful of the sincere faith within you, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am sure that it is in you as well. And for this reason I remind you to kindle afresh the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but of power and love and discipline. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, or of me, his prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was granted us in Christ Jesus from all eternity, but now has been revealed by the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, for which I was appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher. For this reason I also suffer these things, but I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him until that day. Retain the standard of sound words which you have heard from me, in the faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. Guard through the Holy Spirit who dwells in us the treasure which has been entrusted to you. You are aware of the fact that all who were in Asia turned away from me, among whom are Pygellus and Hermogenes. The Lord grant mercy to the house of Onesiphorus, for he often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chains. But when he was in Rome, he eagerly searched for me and found me. The Lord grant to him to find mercy from the Lord on that day. And you know very well what services he rendered at Ephesus. 2 Timothy 1:12. For this reason I also suffer these things, but I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him until that day. I must confess that I'm finding it very difficult to leave this wonderful passage. It has such rich and full meaning, and should have a tremendous impact for and in our lives. It is one of those passages of God's Word that will take the entirety of eternity to fully grasp and to appreciate. However, we will confine our continued consideration of this chapter to this morning and next Sunday, and then proceed, Lord willing, onward the following week. The key that we want to look at these next two Sundays is that there are some very special and very practical promises held within the reality of God's trustworthiness. As the apostle writes, I am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him until that day. There needs to be instilled in all the people of God that complete trust wherein we know beyond any shadow of doubt that God will do that which he tells us he will do in his word through Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul knew this beyond any disbelief. God is to be trusted completely and absolutely, fundamentally, accurately, and triumphantly. Let us look together at the very basis of that solid assurance in the trustworthiness of God as delineated in the Old Testament, the historical source of the Apostle Paul's validation of this truth. The prophet Samuel writes the following in 2 Samuel 22, 29 through 33. "For thou art my lamp, O Lord, and the Lord illumines my darkness. For by thee I can run upon a troop, by my God I can leap over a wall. As for God, his way is blameless. The word of the Lord is tested. He is a shield to all who take refuge in him. For who is God besides the Lord? And who is a rock besides our God? God is my strong fortress, and he sets the blameless in his way." This is a mighty stand to take on behalf of the Lord, wouldn't you say? God is so trustworthy that he is our very refuge, no matter what this world's course of attack and its destructive intent. God is our refuge if we will but turn to him and if we will but trust him. He is our rock of defense, our light who shines in darkness, the very lamp of our salvation. This is a fantastic reality in which to seek asylum from the seemingly endless onslaughts of our day. God is to be trusted no matter what the outward appearances, no matter what it looks like through the pitiful vision of these eyes. God is to be trusted, to be cried unto, and to be sought in times of distress and calamity. He is there in all his omnipotence, omniscience, and omnipresence. His arms open wide to cradle us unto himself in our times of direst need and strife. The psalmist as well knew this characteristic of God's trustworthiness. As we read throughout the Psalms, consider Psalms 31, 19 through 21. "How great is thy goodness, which thou hast stored up for those who fear thee, which thou hast wrought for those who take refuge in thee before the sons of men. Thou dost hide them in the secret place of thy presence from the conspiracies of man. Thou dost keep them secretly in a shelter from the strife of tongues. Blessed be the Lord, for he has made marvelous his loving kindness to me in a besieged city." In the very midst of this world's blitzes and battering offensives, God is our shelter. We are to bless him because he exudes all the uniqueness of himself in his loving kindness through the most dreadful of situations. This is a glorious thing to recognize, especially as the powers of this age seem to be closing in for a kill. We are sheltered. We are hidden in the secret places of God's presence. And in God's presence, we have peace and calmness and rest and assurance that all is well in Jesus Christ, the true Lord of all creation. As well in Psalms 32, 7 through 11, "Thou art my hiding place. Thou dost preserve me from trouble. Thou dost surround me with songs of deliverance, Selah. I will instruct you and teach you in the way which you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. Do not be as the horse or as the mule, which have no understanding, whose trappings include bit and bridle to hold them in check. Otherwise, they will not come near to you. Many are the sorrows of the wicked, but he who trusts in the Lord, loving kindness shall surround him. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, you righteous ones, and shout for joy, all you who are upright in heart. We are to rejoice and to be glad in the Lord, no matter what is taking place in our lives. We belong to Him, and we can trust Him to deal with every issue, every problem, every circumstance, every dilemma. And it doesn't matter how large or small they are. He will effectively deal with them if we trust Him. Nothing is outside the wondrous power of His grace to conquer and to overrule. Have you ever considered the loving kindness of our God? We think of Him in terms of salvation, which is absolutely glorious beyond any measure. But the God of all creation loves us so much that even the smallest details in our lives He has ordered unto Himself. He takes care of it when our trust is in Him. In that knowledge, we are to rejoice, to sing praises, to worship, and to bring honor to Him in the very midst of the calamity that surrounds us. This is a key that the church, that you and me, need to learn to ever greater measures. Many of us look at worship and praise and songs of rejoicing and prayers of deliverance as things that are done during times of pleasant reflection on God's goodness. We rejoice and we worship when we have been delivered and are looking back at the manner in which God has made Himself known. And this is valid. We do need to do this. But it is not the only time that we celebrate the goodness and the mercy of God. We are to praise and to worship Him with all joy and purity of heart and trust in the midst of the trials and the heartaches and the difficulties. When we can wholeheartedly and ceaselessly praise Him, we are showing a firm and a complete reliance on His trustworthiness to deal with all those problems and evils and tribulations. We show forth the faith that we know God is in control before we even see Him in action. We affirm through our hearts' praise and adoration that God has already conquered and triumphed. When His church can show forth that assured relationship of worship and honor, no matter what is taking place, all of creation will notice and will be forced to honor God as we so honor Him in our living trust in His faithfulness. This brings us to another truth of the special promises of God's trustworthiness. We will be afflicted. We are promised that there will be many opportunities to be utterly dependent exclusively on the trustworthiness of God. Psalms 34:19-22. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. He keeps all his bones. Not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and those who hate the righteous will be condemned. The Lord redeems the soul of his servants, and none of those who take refuge in him will be condemned. Notice, many are the afflictions of the righteous. Many. We are to count on them to be a vital part of our lives, just as we count on the Lord to be our deliverer in every time of need and distress. We are to expect them just as we expect God to make Himself known livingly in our hearts and beings. Through each of those trials and tribulations, we are to consider with assurance those times of the trials and the testing and the proving of the trustworthiness of God. This is not because we enjoy them, but because we treasure the greater measure of Jesus Christ established in our hearts as He faithfully and victoriously takes us through each one. We become ever more enamored and united with Christ as we go through these hardships together. That's the purpose behind them. They serve to establish our living fellowship with and in Him. It is as the hard times are overcome by the grace and the mercy of Christ in our lives that we learn ever more forcefully the person of Jesus Christ. We are redeemed in Him, and we come into a greater recognition of that redemption as He proves Himself over and over again in our lives. We begin to realize that our being saved is a living, day-by-day course of salvation in His victory over death and sin. It is as He takes us through those difficulties and the stresses and the miseries of this earthly walk that we show forth the greater glory and majesty of the life that we have now, this very moment in Him. That is why we can celebrate Him and worship Him no matter what may be the seemingly dreary details of this life. The final aspect of the trustworthiness of God to His people that we will consider this morning is found in Psalms 125, 1 and 2. Those who trust in the Lord are as Mount Zion, which cannot be moved, but abides forever. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds His people from this time forth and forever. There are at least two aspects to what the psalmist declares in this passage. The first is that when we learn that we can trust the Lord with all our heart and with all our soul and with all our spirit, in other words, with all our being, we will never be moved from that truth. No matter what the world throws at us, individually and corporately, with all its philosophical, educational, psychological, emotional, and intellectual endeavors, we will not be moved from our earnest trust in Jesus Christ. We hold on to the truth of the living God who has proven Himself trustworthy over and over again. We will never be carried away from the reality of the personal relationship that we have in Jesus Christ. This world can assault us with all its expertise and its incriminations of our stupidity and with physical martyrdom. But we will never be pulled away from the truth of Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. We will be as established in Him as the mountains are established on the face of this planet. We will not be ashamed to be called Christians, and we will regard the abuse of this age for the sake of His name as a badge of spiritual honor. The second aspect of this passage is that God will never forsake us. He will forever be our fortress of love and righteousness and trustworthiness from the brutality of this age. We will find our solace and our comfort and our strength and our wisdom and our protection and our life fully and eternally secure in Him. He will surround us with His faithfulness, with His mercy, with His grace, with His salvation, and with His loving kindness forever. We are secure in His love in Jesus Christ, and therefore we have absolutely nothing to fear from this world power. Try as it will never be able to remove us from our eternal security in Christ Jesus. We are hidden securely in Him, now and forevermore. Therefore, let us ever trust in Him and seek to find our delight and our peace in Him through all the course of our complete walk on this earth. There is no area of our lives that is hidden from Him or from His trustworthiness to establish the life of Jesus Christ. Recognize and live in Him. Let our hearts echo and manifest the heart of the Apostle Paul in his absolute and unshakable assurance of God's overruling grace and His established faithfulness and trustworthiness. For this reason I also suffer these things, but I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that He is able to guard what I have entrusted to Him until that day. Amen.